Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
We've been working through a series called Searching for Sunday. And so far we've just talked about the importance of a Sabbath day, about water baptism, confession, communion, and just even for us to be involved in ministry, how all those play a crucial role in us being part of church. And even for younger generations, how these things that we sometimes maybe we even consider them old school, but they're just part of what the church does, how important they are to us staying connected with God and connected with the church. So today was kind of a busy week for me. I saw going in just with teaching at Lexington, and I'm going to be getting on a plane this afternoon heading to Virginia for a week of class, so I passed my first class, all right, so now I'm starting number two here. So just looking at the schedule, actually by this time next year I should be done with most of the classes, then it's just writing a big paper. So, I'm going to be heading out there, but I saw it was going to be a busy week, and I asked Gil if he'd be interested in team teaching with us and with me. And so he's going to come and just talk about healing, just praying for one another. So, and at the end, we're going to invite people, if you want to come forward for prayer, for healing. We're going to do that this morning. So, Gil, would you come? And I think most of you know Gil, and it's just a blessing to have them part of our congregation. And I'm excited about what God has placed on his heart.
Hallelujah. Well, good morning. You know, our pastor believes in healing, and he also believes in miracles, and I know that one for sure, because he believes I'm going to get done by 11:20 today. I'm going to take this whole subject of praying for the sick and concisely bring it down to 25 minutes. That's a man of miracles. Oh, glory to God. Let's make use of the time then. Hallelujah. Praying for the sick. That's what it's all about. And Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your word. Without both, we could do nothing. But through them, we can do miracles, healings. Many signs and wonders, Lord, could be done through your church, the body of Christ. And we thank you for that, Jesus, for making it possible. Amen. Praying for the sick. Well, if you're going to pray for the sick, that means you're going to pray for people's bodies, if there's anything wrong with their bodies. And that's the most common thing that people think about when they say praying for the sick. But it is also really praying for the soul. The soul, the part of that we pray for is are the emotions of people. Through all the years that I've been around the churches and so on, most of the time when we pray for the sick, most people come up, probably 99% of them come up, and there's something wrong with their body, and they want that to be prayed for. Very seldom do people come up and say, I have a problem with lust. I would like to have you pray for me. I have a problem with pornography. I have a problem for gossip. I have a problem with, you know, those kind of things. And people just are hesitant. They don't have any problem coming up and saying, you know, I got this big thing over here. I want you to pray for me. And I got, you know, I just, all that kind of stuff physically, but emotionally not. But I want to encourage you. This morning, as we come at the end of the service, if you have something emotionally that you have been plagued with through the years, that you can also be healed of that. Jesus came. Jesus came not only for our bodies, but he came for our souls. And of course, we all know when you're born again, it takes care of the spirit. And so if there is anything, please, you know, avail yourself of that. And I know myself, I'll give a quick illustration here. I was starting a church, and I was pastoring it, and we're doing well and all that. And this one woman, she became a Christian in the church, And she was a real untransformed choleric, if you know what that means. And she boldly one day came up to me and says, "Pastor, I want to pray for you and deliver you of that spirit of jealousy." I said she was bold. And I thank her because, you know, I said, "Well, go for it. I mean, if it's God, let's go for it. Why, you know, I'm not going to hold back. I'm not going to slap you down, all that kind of stuff. What, doing, saying that to your pastor?" No, and she did, and praise God, I was delivered of it. It had been something that I actually was plagued with since I'd probably been young. And when I got married to my wife, that spirit of jealousy was out there in max. She must have discerned it in the spirit. She prayed for me. It was delivered. And praise God, it never has affected my life since. But oh my, before that, it was not good. So may that testimony encourage you. Well, first of all, the most important question to answer about praying for the sick, and you need to answer this, is do you believe it is God's will for you to be healed? That's so important. If you don't believe it's God's will for you to be healed, well, then your chances are getting healed are diminished. Now, some people answer, "Well, you never can tell when you pray for somebody." I have never found that scripture passage, but you may show me if you have it. Another one, people sometimes say, "Well, what will be," when they come up for prayer. Or another one is, "God can do anything. So if he wants me to be healed, then I'll be healed." Again, I can't find scriptures for these particular answers. You see, God's will for us is to be healed. And he had to change his mind ever since he made a way for it through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, as Pastor read in Isaiah, he was sent not only for our sins, but for our pains, our sicknesses, our infirmities. And he hasn't changed his mind. In 2016, he says, "You know, from now on, I've changed my mind." God doesn't do that. And so either I would say is if we believe any of these things that I've just said, we might want to change our minds. Because I guarantee you, God isn't going to change his mind. Amen? God's will is for us to be healed. Hallelujah. Now, I want to give you some scriptures off here to encourage you to see that that is true. And the first one is in Luke 5, 12 through 13. It's a very, one of my favorite scriptures, especially one day when I found in the Greek what a literal translation of it is. It says, "And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' And immediately the leprosy left him." Now those words up there, "I am willing to be cleansed," I saw literal translation of that, and this is basically what it says, including the emphasis behind it. When Jesus looked at that leper, when that leper said, "Oh, if you're willing, I know I can be cleaned." And Jesus said this, "Of course I am willing." He said it that way. That's what literal translation would be, as best in English as you could find. "Of course I am willing. I mean, what I have to do to prove it? I touch you." Touching a leper. Jesus knew the will of his Father, and that's why he went around doing it. But it was amazing. He found people saying, "Well, if you're willing." I have heard too many people ask that. "Well, if God is willing, I know he'll heal me." Get past the willing. It's done for. It's done. He paid the price through his son, Jesus Christ. Let us go on. Romans 8, 32, and this is the verse that just says what I just said. "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things. There is nothing in there that I can see that God says, except this, or, well, not that. No, God makes it very clearly that he will not withhold anything. And all of us know who our fathers, and if you have a son, how precious that son is to you. And you think about how God gave his son for us, and you think, well, he gave the max, so whatever else is minor compared to his son. We have to get that through to us. The next one is, of course, Jesus' own words in John 10:10. He says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus made it. He can go talk about a line. Jesus said it right there. But then he says, I have come that you might have life, Zoe, the God kind of life, and have it abundantly. This is not you're going to have it, but you have more than enough, more than enough. That's what Jesus says. Then another scripture, Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing, may you say it? Good. And healing all those who were what? Oppressed by the devil. And then what does he say? And Father God was with him. You see, Jesus went about doing the will of the Father, and Father God was with him. Hallelujah. Then Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, God says, if you will believe I am, and you will diligently, that diligent is, you know, take time. Take time to develop your faith so that when you when something happens, you may boldly come to the throne of grace in time of need. See, that's why Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and so on talk about this. You need to develop your faith because faith will grow. Faith will grow if you do what is necessary to make it grow. Now, I have an illustration, of course, I could use about my garden. It just doesn't grow itself. I've got to get out there with the seed, the weeds, the water, you name it. Then I even have to harvest it. It doesn't come walking into my table and say, eat me, eat me. It's so simple, isn't it? Well, it's the same thing with faith. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. And of course, some people may say, well, God or Jesus can do anything he wants to. Now, don't raise your hand up if you believe that. I've heard that many times. God can do anything he wants to. And they would say, well, if he wants to, he can heal me, and if he doesn't, he won't. Well, if you took a test, and that was only one question, and you said, you agreed that God can do anything he wants to, you failed it. Because God can't do everything he wants to. And Jesus couldn't do everything he wanted to. Let's look at this next scripture, Mark 6:1-6. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended with him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now, he could do no mighty work there. Except he laid hands on a few sick people. That word sick there is minor ailments. Minor ailments. And he could not do. What did he say back there? That he would not do anything? Is that what it says there? Now, he would not do any mighty work there? No, what? He could not. He could not. And why could he not? I know I'm... He could not because of their unbelief. Unbelief. And what did he do then? As not on there, but what he did then as a result of seeing this, he marveled at their unbelief. And so what he did is he went about trying to cure their unbelief. And the Bible says in the next verse, he went out and started teaching and preaching the good news that he came to preach. Because Romans 10:17 says, faith comes only by hearing the word of God. I might preface that by saying, how do you then get stronger faith? How do you get more faith? And so on and so on. Is it possible? Or do you just have to hope for the best? No, it's possible. How you get more faith? Number one, you go to Facebook. Number two, you go to Twitter. Is that still around? Number three, watch the University of Nebraska football game. Go shopping. YouTube, you name it. Well, you know, interesting, you can kind of use those to develop faith if what? If you are reading or hearing the Word of God, your Bible. Because God said in Romans 10:17 that faith only comes by hearing the Word. And what is it? That's it. Simple. Hearing the Word of God. And so if you spend all of your time on those other things and try to squeeze in the Word of God, and then when emergency comes and then you want to get somebody to pray for you, and, you know, it's kind of like I've always said, a scared prayer really doesn't work. But a faith-filled prayer works. And it's not because God is holding back, my friends. No. No, he does all he can to get us healed. But we have to do our part. Sorry, that's one of the things we have to do. That kind of maybe sounds hard, but we have to develop our own faith. It doesn't happen any more than you know yourself. If you take the Word of God as food, you got to get yourself to eat it, see it, meditate on it, and so on. None of you... unless you are very wealthy here, and I don't know if any of us are, but I have a maid and a butler waiting for you at home so that when you get home, you just sit down and start eating. You have all the stuff you got to do to get that meal going. Well, we all need to do that as well. Now, one of the things I want you to know is what I do to get the word in front of me about healing. One day, many years ago, I went to the Bible and I recorded all the healings that Jesus did in his ministry. Then I added a bunch of scriptures that build faith. And that's all it's about, building faith. And these, as I hand out to people, my wife and I use this all the time, we'll just read. We have them beside our chair where we read and so on, and every once in a while I will just get up and I'll read these through. I build my faith. I develop it. I get it stronger. I read these scriptures. So that when the situation comes that I need a healing, I've got that word built up in me. I've got the faith built up. And you can't prevent things from happening. Some things you can, but I don't know of anybody on earth that's never been sick or had a tribulation or affliction or whatever it might be. I don't know of anybody. So you can't say, well, if I just build my faith up so great, I'll never get sick. I'll never have an attack. No, that is not scriptural. You will. Isn't that good news? No, don't say it is. It's bad news. But I have good news for you. If you get in the good news, then you take care of the bad news. It's just like on a radio or TV. You change the channel. All right. Praise God. Let's go on then. With that introduction, let me share the three most common ways the Bible talks about for us to pray for one another. And the first one you'll find in Matthew 18:19. Matthew 18:19 says, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, It will be done for them by my Father in heaven. If you can find another person in faith to agree with you about your request, then God says, I'll watch over that word and I'll bring it to pass. If you can find somebody to pray and agree, it will come to pass. Now, agreeing is not the same thing as somebody comes up to me and says, oh, Gil, agree with me that I'll get a job this week. Oh, sure, I'll agree with you. See ya. Never think about it. Never pray about it. That's not what he said. You pray and agree. You go into faith and pray, and you will get what you have desired. And thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. But it has to be God's will when you're praying. I want to add that. Don't think you can just go out and I want you to agree with me. This college student came up last week and says, I want you to agree with me that the first girl that walks into the church next week, that she'll be my wife. No, they didn't do that. I just got you. But I got your attention on it. No, I mean, that's not scriptural. I mean, you can't just do that. Or would you agree with me that that Gil gives me his camper? No. You see, you have to find, this is the truth. No, I'm not even going to tell you. It's not even worth telling you. It's a waste of time. But we can't be, ridiculous about our asking for agreements. We've got to include of realizing it's God's will. And healing, by the way, is God's will. Somebody told me that. That's how many minutes I have left? Boy, miracles do happen. Number two, praying in the name of Jesus. Mark 16, 17 through 18. And the part of that verse that says, they shall lay hands on the sick. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, God said that, and therefore, it is possible. Now, I want to tell you this, the word recover. See, most of us would like to have a spot-on healing. You come up this morning for prayer and put your hands on you. And anybody like that kind of answer to prayer? Just me and Emily? I mean, really, nobody else like a spot on prayer answer? Oh, getting a little more action here. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's true. It's true. But, a lot of times when you don't get it, you get discouraged and give up and say, I guess God didn't want to heal me. Or I didn't have enough faith or whatever it might be. No. Look at the word recover. Recover. Look it up in the Greek. Look it up in English. Look it up in German. Spanish. It all means the same thing. It'll take place. It shall take place in the future. Now, I've had things with myself that took longer than some other thing that I prayed for. But the word recover means just what it says. You will recover. You know what that means, don't you? I don't have to talk about it. I only have 30 seconds. I don't have any more time to talk about the word recover. But that's true. And so when you're prayed for, keep the switch of faith turned on. Build yourself up. That's this coming week. Get in the Word. Let the word do what God says it will do, and that is builds faith, stronger faith, growing faith, which we need to receive from God. Next one. And that is, like we're going to do this morning, all these in a sense are tied together, but the one specifically is call for the elders of the church to pray. Now the word elder there, can mean different things in different churches. It can mean also old, elderly, someone with more experience. In the early church after Pentecost, a lot of times the older men in the congregation would be appointed to take care of the congregation until they could get a pastor to come and then take over that responsibility of being an overseer. But it's like, it also would mean, like I say, if Emily here is a brand new Christian today, And we say, Emily, would you come up here and pray this morning for the people? Well, that's okay, but that's not what the scripture means. What the scripture means is if somebody here who has proven himself or herself to, well, I guess elders, well, I'm not going to get into that. But anyway, you know, if you want a woman to come up, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, hey, if a woman is in faith and she's got a record of when she prays for people, they get healed. And you have a man over here, he has no record of getting prayed. When he prays, nothing happens. I know who I'm going to ask for prayer. Amen? So, what we do, though, is a person who's maybe shown some responsibility, some experience, and some, you know, maturity, those people will most likely be asked to pray for people. It doesn't mean you can't raise yourself up fast in the rank. I mean, look, folks, you know, you get in the Word, you do the Word and all that. You don't have to be a 25-year-old Christian to be praying for others. And that's the point also we want to bring up this morning. Praying for each other. You can be an infant, a brand new Christian, and pray for others. And pray for your neighbors who aren't. You don't have to wait until you sit under Pastor Brent's teachings for 10 years. He would like to have, are you born again? Go out. Do you know that the sooner you get out there and share Jesus with others, the greater contributor in the spiritual quality of the church and in your lives you will be. But if you sit for 10 years and I got that one, I went to that one, I got that, I got that, I got this, I got that, and got out that thing, you probably never, ever go out and pray for anybody else. But if we can get born-again people to get out there as soon as possible and to start sharing with Jesus, start witnessing, start praying for people, they will turn the world upside down. While all those people who are still sitting on their duffs get more information, and that's where they'll be. I'm not getting many amens, Pastor. Amen. Well, okay, so it takes faith, by the way, for praying for the elders, both for the elder that's praying or the person that's praying and the person who comes up. So if you're coming up this morning, for instance, you want to say, God, I'm coming to you believing that you want me to receive this. Don't come up and say, there's pastors over there and Gil and Emma here, let's say, and Victor and Landa, I believe, are going to be praying over here. I remember your name this time. They're going to be praying over here. And you're sitting out there and you say, let me see. Which one should I go to? Which one has the greater faith? You know, which one do you think could get what I'm going to get? And so, you know, No, you say, you know, there are three different people up there praying, and I'm going to go to any one of them. It doesn't make any difference because I know they're in faith. And I'm going to believe that when I tell them what I need and they pray for me, it's going to be done. That's faith, my friends. And so if there's two over here and one here and there's five people over here, just go over to the other people, line up. Or if they're praying longer there, just go over to this line and then whatever. But keep your faith turned on. We're going to use oil, I believe, Pastor said. And so if that's the case, the oil, remember, doesn't heal you. But it's a witness, a sign of the Holy Spirit who brings the healing from heaven and resides that within you. Glory to God. Amen? Amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I do have one authority here this morning that said I can preach as long as I want to. The battery was just changed. No, I want to just give one simple illustration I think will also help you. Like the Lord gave me this years and years ago. Let's take a comparison to an aspirin or a Aleve, ibuprofen or something like that, and all these other different things, Tylenol. Let's take that and imagine I have this in my hand. Let's say it's an aspirin. And I take this in, and I, because, you know, maybe I have a headache. I have a bad headache, and I don't feel like praying. I just want relief. It's just temporary. You know, I just don't take this aspirin. Now, do you go say, I wonder if that aspirin will work. I wonder if it's going to, I wonder if that aspirin will work. I tried it before, but I don't know about this aspirin. And then 2 hours later, God, I still wonder if it's working. Oh, man, I hope it's working. God. Oh, man, I mean, oh, do I hope it's working? Because I got it. Oh, man, I hope it's working. Do you do that? Nobody. Nobody raised their hand. Okay. Right, because the aspirin will do what it is in what it was made to do. The aspirin will do what it was made to do. God's word will do what it is made was made to do. God said, you get in my word, faith will come. You believe my word, faith will come. You do my word, faith will come. But again, the aspirin. Oh, man, I got a headache. Oh, man, I had a headache. Here's my aspirin, but I'm going to put it on my nightstand. And sometime during the night, I hope it works. Because, man, I got a headache. But I know it's there. I know it's there on my nightstand. I know it's there. It's, do you feel? No, I don't feel a thing yet. Compared to, uh-oh, I already see somebody leaving. That's why you never leave early. Here's my Bible. I'm going to put it on the nightstand. I hope sometime during the night I'm absorbing what's in there. And if I can think about it, I wake up, you know, I'll put my hand out there and I'll touch the Bible. Because I want faith, and I want it to grow. Because I want to have faith to believe when I need a prayer that I'll receive. Will it work? No. You know the aspirin won't work. You know the Bible won't work. Okay? Does that help you see that? Glory to God. I thank you for all those amens. I don't know. Maybe I have a hearing loss tonight. No. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. I'm finished. No, I'm not. But if I don't quit, I'm finished. Hallelujah. Pastor's Appreciation Day. Aren't you glad for your pastor? He's a good man. Good man. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I love the humanness that he has. You know, you can joke with him and get serious with him and et cetera. And good for him and good for us. Praise God. Well, I can quit. And I wanted to encourage you and turn it back over to you, Pastor.
Man, thank you, Gil. That's just good teaching on healing. And often, I think we wrestle with, it is God's will to heal. We saw that Jesus, as he came and he prayed and ministered to people, people were healed. And sometimes we pray and we don't see the healing or the answer to prayer right now. And then, so then we wrestle with that and doubt begins to creep in. And God wants to stretch our faith. And we pray and we leave the results to God and allow him to work through us. And in the meantime, we say, God, increase our faith. And I just know that as you look at history, there's some people that God used mightily in the gift of healing and the gift of faith. And you know what? You might think, you know what? God can never do that in me. How do you know? I sometimes think that the younger you are as a Christian, you sometimes, it's like a child. A child just has that faith, right? They're going to jump into their mom or dad's arms without asking all the questions. Sometimes the older we get, we begin to let doubt creep in there, and the musicians can come. We begin to let doubt creep in there, and we don't pray as with as much faith as we do sometimes a little child does. And so when we come to God, I think all he expects us to do is come in accordance to his word, right? and stand on his word. So we're going to have Gil and Emily are going to be here. Victor and Yolanda are going to be here. I'll be in the center. We're going to pray for needs. And if somebody comes up that that you care about and you're praying with them, come with them. Okay? That's what this is about. Scripture says to have the elders come. But even more importantly, how important it is that we, the body of Christ, pray for one another. Amen? And if you look at the miracles of Jesus, did they take place in the temple, in the church? Where did they take place? Out there, didn't they? On the road, on the hillside. That's where Jesus did healing. And I believe that God wants to provide healing and minister to other people through our lives. That's what we talked about last week, right? We're all ministers. That God wants to flow his healing through us. As we are at work, as we are hanging out with other people, and all of a sudden we're talking, all of a sudden, boom, they share a need.